الحمد لله رب العالمين. There is praise be to God, Allah, in the language of our religion, the Quran, in our religion. And we wish peace. And the blessings and merciful blessings of God be with you all as we say Assalamu alaikum. First, I would like to acknowledge, along with acknowledging the mercy and blessings of God upon us, the hard work that you have done to make this great meeting here today possible for us in New York at this very lovely and attractive, huge facility, the Jacob Javits Center. We are grateful to all of you who have made some contribution to this gathering here, to its success, that is acquiring the facility and doing the work that must be done beforehand to assure us that we will have a successful day here today. We appreciate it very deeply and congratulate the PR program and PR plans, and particularly the persons, Brother Shamsuddin and the persons that have worked with him, because you have done a wonderful job. You've done a very excellent job, a very professional job, and we all appreciate it very much. Well, I got a lot here that I would like to bring you today, but I don't know how to feel comfortable without the Word of God. That's first and that's last. I was riding in my car and listening to a colleague of the world renowned man, evangelist Billy Graham, and something caught my attention. The colleague of Dr. Graham, he said, when you kneel down to pray, you're exercising a power greater than any national leader on this earth. I thought that was great, especially great to be said to the public. And he was speaking publicly in the United States of America. There are many countries where he would not be allowed to say that. He put God before man. He put God before nations when he said that when one kneels down to pray to God, they exercise a power greater than any leader, any national leader on this earth. Also, I would like to express our appreciation to the dignitaries who have joined us today. Dignitaries from our own community, imams, and educators, and principals, and people working in government and also in the private sector, and those who come here today from the outside, from outside our community, even from outside these United States, dignitaries from the embassies here in New York, and the many others, immigrants from other countries. One joined us in Chicago and came with us, came with our senior and pioneering members. That is Sister Nusrat of Pakistan, who has worked hard faithfully among us in Chicago. She herself is an educator, well-educated in Islamic knowledge and also in the secular knowledge. And she has been giving herself to our school now for several years. I was surprised when I saw her at the airport joining the others and blending in so well and supporting what we are about in a way that didn't make her conspicuous at all. She's just there with us. There are many more like her who are from other ethnic backgrounds, and I think that says a lot for our new effort as people striving for righteousness, true faith in God, and a true commitment to the fallen lot of our people. That says a lot for us. It says that we have changed and have not changed for the worse, we have changed for the better. In recognizing Allah, I would like to express the words of God in the Quran and the Holy Book of the Muslims. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, and God is enough to settle affairs. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. Whatever is in the heavens and in the earth, testify to the glory of Allah, and for Him is the rule, for Him is the praise. And God says, Allah that is says, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And seek by the means God has given you the eternal home, the end home, the destiny. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. However, do not neglect your share of the world. And God says, وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. And strive, not just any striving, not just any struggle, but a striving and a struggle that respects, that regards the Creator, our Lord, the maker of the things that we're using to advance the struggle, a regard for that Lord in that struggle, and struggle in the path of God. وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And struggle in the path of God with your wealth and with your very soul. With your very souls mean put your own selves into it. Put your personal life into it. Put your energy into it. Put your concerns, your personal concerns into the path of God. Put your heart in the path of God. Put your sympathies in the path of God. Put your intellect in the path of God. put your muscles in the path of God. Put all you have in the path of God and struggle, not for something that you imagine, a fantasy, something unreal. Struggle for the real things that God has directed you to on this earth in this human environment. And struggle in the path of God with your wealth and with your very soul. And again, God says, "Inna al-fitnatu akmaru min al-qatl." Certainly, the suppression of man's potential, of his moral potential, of his intellectual potential, of his social potential, of his political potential, the suppression of the potential in man that God has put there is a worse crime than outright slaughter. An effort or campaign for crushing the will of the common people or the will and spirit of the people is a bigger issue, a bigger crime than outright killing, or than killing for wealth and killing for territory. Men kill for wealth, men kill for territory, to expand the domain of their nation, of the domain of their powers. That's not as great a crime as the suppression, holding down, holding back, denying the potential that God put in man for his dignity, for his freedom, for his function as a total creature on this earth. For surely that kind of persecution is worse than outright slaughter. So we are happy to see better days in America. We are happy to see better days in the world. But we are not going to be so foolish or so naive to overlook the evils, the serious evils that continue, the subtle oppression, the subtle evils that continue to work the undermining of the freedom of the common person. It is not altogether our fault that we are spending the wealth of our African-American community on quick pleasures, on self-destruction, on getting high, et cetera, et cetera. On image that's shallow, silly fads, silly hairdos, silly dress styles. Many of the youngsters, I see them now, they are wearing the popular dunce cap, and they don't even know that's the name of it. But they are wearing it all over the United States. They're wearing the dunce cap. It's not all our fault that we are spending the great resources of our African-American people on these temporary and passing away things. I won't go into any details to put any particular quarter of our society or personalities in our society on the spot today. The purpose here today is really to reconcile our own life and to make peace in America so that can be a real success, not only for now, but for the generations to come. But before going further into our talk of our own situation, for which we are getting help, there are efforts by people like Reverend Fontroy in Washington, his colleagues, his associates, and many others, even J.A. Johnson of the Johnson Publication. He recently said, and it was published in our paper, the American Muslim Journal, a paper that is shaping up day by day and week by week and month by month to be the paper we want it to be. It was given in our paper that Mr. Johnson in a recent address addressing an audience of distinguished persons, he said, "We are going to have to mobilize the spirit of our people." And I agree with that, and I'm happy to know that we are not alone. We are not alone in recognizing the spiritual poverty of our race. It's not enough to feel good about God on the weekend or to extend your hand to a pitiful person occasionally and go down the path of suicidal behavior, and see your whole race almost following you or going in that direction toward behavioral suicide, and leaving the great aims and great purposes, the great virtues, the great principles, the great liberation virtues. Don't you know the struggle of our people from slavery? The efforts of our people, even during slavery, those efforts, as we saw them continued or carried on by freed ancestors, freed blacks, African Americans, and joined by so many whites, Jews, because there were liberation virtues. There was a spirit, but not only a spirit, there was principles. And the old folks used to tell us, "I can't let you behave that way. You have to be a decent person." And they insisted that we be decent because they were in a spirit for their liberation, and they knew liberation wouldn't come without virtues. In order to win freedom in a country of Christians, in a country that sought excellence, in a people that sought great excellence, our downcast people knew that they would have to live in accordance with the best of their spirit, in accordance with the best of their morality, in accordance with the best of their mind and principles, to be successful in that uphill road, that very painful, steep road to equality and justice in the United States of America. They didn't give up, and they were successful because the free people, seeing the oppressed, struggling in that spirit and struggling in the dress of their God-given virtues, was impressed, and they believed in the innocent and noble motives of the struggling African American. But something has happened. Something has happened. Something took place in the 60s. Something took place in the 70s. Something have robbed us of that spirit, and something have made us abandon those virtues. Now let me continue my reflection on the word of God as given to Muslims in our holy book, the Quran. In an effort to present our religion very briefly and very quickly to those who are not acquainted with it, because we want our American brothers and sisters, our American citizens that we have to live with, that we have to find peace and settlement among, that we have to work with to realize a great future for ourselves in this country. We want them to know us. We want them to feel comfortable with us. There are many different kinds of Muslims. There's the Orthodox Muslim and the unorthodox Muslim. There's the proper Muslim and the notorious Muslim. There's the sane Muslim and the insane Muslims. There are many different kinds of Muslims. But believe me, the Muslim that's before you now is not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed no matter where I stand, no matter where I go. I'm never ashamed. And believe me, there are just as many divisions on that line, on the line of quality in Christianity as there are for Muslims. How many of us know that Hitler was Christian? Hitler was a Christian, an avowed Christian. Just because there was a man named Hitler who committed the terrible atrocities and evils against a people that was weak in his country and weak before him, he had the power to inflict evils on them. Just because that man, Hitler, did those things and was a Christian, should that be cause for us to now look unfavorably upon Christianity? No, we can't look unfavorably on Christianity because there's a Hitler in the history of the Christians. And we can't look unfavorably on the Jew because there's a Zionist militarist, expansionist war machine in the Middle East called Israel. We can't look unfavorably on the Jew because of what the Israelites or the Israelis have done in the Middle East. They have committed great evils, great atrocities. They have brutalized the weak and helpless people with the great arms that they have been able to get from America and the great strength and support that they have gotten from our nation. They have used it unwisely. They have used it savagely against unarmed and weak people. They have put them out of their homes into camps, into prison camps. But should we now look unfavorably upon Jews because of the behavior of the Zionists? No. The Jew is to be respected for his merits. The Jew is to be respected for his merits. And if some of his people behave unseemingly, we are not to judge all of them by the behavior of the radical among them. That's my position. And I don't beg anybody to join me. God is company enough for me, but I wish we all could be together. Our holy book says, "Pull." Don't get nervous. Because I might start directing my complaints at something closer to home. So if you think that made you nervous, please. In our holy book, we are given concepts for our total life needs. And because the human being is such a special vessel made by his Creator for great, great achievement in the spiritual realm and also in the material realm, man cannot move successfully in the path of achievement without a recognition, a proper regard for his Lord. So our holy book attends the need, most of all, or first of all, it attends the need in man to rightly perceive his God. Now, when we're talking about perceiving God, we're not talking about seeing God as we see the material reality. We're not talking about seeing God as we see a dog, or as we see a house, or as we see a fine automobile, or as we see the mansion that we would like to live in. No, we are not talking about God, or seeing God in that sense. We are talking about seeing God in the sense that you like to see your father, in the sense that you like to see your mother, in the sense that you like to see your children, in the sense that you like to see your friend. You don't see them in material quantity. You see them in quality. You see them in their plans, in their scheme, in their purpose, And we must see God in his plan. We must see him in his scheme. We must see him in his purpose. We must see him in his wonderful attributes of mercy, of mercy. His wonderful perfected attributes of perfection, of kindness, of love, etc., etc. That's how we are supposed to see God, and that's the way we would like to see our loved ones. The Quran gives us first the principle of unity for God. God is one. God is one alone. The Arabic term wahid, one, and ahad, one alone. And God says in his holy book, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name Allah, the gracious, the compassionate, he says, Qul huwallahu ahad. Say that he, Allah, is one, alone, one alone. This oneness, if we were to actually elaborate on it, would take up all the time we have here this afternoon and would make volumes, because the learned in our religion, our scholarly imams and professors in this religion, they have produced volumes on the oneness of God. Again, God says, on the concept of unity and oneness, كان الناس أمّةً واحدة. The people were at first one community, one community. So God is telling us, the words of our holy book, that man, though he's divided now into nations on many different lines, he originally was made to be one community. And that if we are to be successful, we have to be successful, we are to understand this unity. Because if we don't understand this unity, we will not be able to progress for long as nations or as ethnic groups. There's only so much time on this earth and so much room on this earth for people who take themselves out of the family of man. And again, on this unity, Allah, the Lord of all of us, whether we are Muslims or not, we all believe in the same God. But we see with different eyes. God says, see they not, the disbelievers, the doubters, the skeptics. See they not that the creation is a composite whole? So we believe in the unity of the whole creation. We don't believe that there are some foreign worlds out there somewhere. We don't believe that there is right in this area here another dimension, and there are some foreign creatures sharing this space with us. Their nature is not like ours. They can do things to us, and we can't reach them unless we find some way to plug into their foreignness. We don't believe it. The real Muslim can't accept that kind of stuff. You can't voodoo us. You can't hex us. We are not vulnerable to superstition. When we live in a world with that kind of recognition of reality, that the great architect of all this vast universe is one, the design bears that out. That one designer did all of this. And when we live with the recognition that since one designer has done all of this, We as little bitty molecules, little bitty small units, smaller than the molecule, in this vast, vast, great, expansive, phenomenal works of God, that we have to accept unity, oneness with everything else. It doesn't mean we are not going to have divisions. It doesn't mean we are not going to dislike each other. It doesn't mean we are not going to be prejudiced against each other. All of that's human nature. Human nature is human nature because we have limitations. We are not God. We are not perfect. We are growing. We are not there. And our destiny is not to be God. Our destiny is to be his excellent servant. Not him, but his excellent servant. And we are not even there. So we have many weaknesses. We are frail in many respects. But we have great strength. And we can realize the great life if we realize the great truth first. Charity in our religion is a great necessity for the well-being.